Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is 7:04 with the morning shift. Thanks for being here this morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Beau Morgan, Dylan behind the glass, researching some controversy. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Quick headlines before you get to work. Blue Jays beat the Mariners last night, 13-4 in the ALCS. Mariners lead the series 2-1, game four is tonight, along with game three of the NLCS. Dodgers have a 2-0 lead on the Brewers. Florida Athletic Director Scott Strickland met with boosters on Tuesday. The result is that Gators coach Billy Napier could be fired as soon as this weekend. The Steelers are in Cincinnati to take on the Bengals tonight for Thursday night football. And in morning shift news, Dylan has pulled the audio of Throwback Thursday trivia, and we do have a discrepancy on who rang in first. Go ahead, Dylan. Model and Bring It On actress Gabrielle Union married
Mike.
Dylan.
Mike.
Dwayne
Wade.
I want you to cut that, and we're listening to it in the break.
I clearly beat you.
It's just not true.
Mike. I think it's a clear tie.
Yeah, here's the thing. You just went straight Hugh Freeze afterwards.
Whoa, hold on.
You complained on the way into halftime, and then you fell apart in second.
Hold on a second. Well, hold on a second.
There was no yards gained.
First off, if you think it's a tie, why did you say it was Mike's?
Because it sounded like Mike just barely got you. But listening, in real time, it sounded like Mike just barely got you. But now, listening back to it, I will at least admit it was a tie. Listen to it.
Mike.
It's the difference between the B sound and the M sound.
Absolutely.
That's all it is.
That's all it is. You can hear it, whichever one you want to hear first, you can hear first.
Let me tell you something.
Tell us. I love when you do this.
You just have flat out lied multiple times on this show. You lied earlier about being a Knicks fan, and you're lying right now. There's no – first off, you can't –
audio.
You said definitively earlier it was Mike. Now we have audio where it's clear that it's me, and you're saying
that it's you?
I deserve the tiebreaker after the one before. Clearly it was me.
Bo, it's clear as you. This is as clear as it's you. Is as clear as Auburn fumbled at the goal line.
There you go. There you go. He freezed it. I'm telling you.
What are you talking about?
He complained on the interview on the way into halftime.
You can hear my name first.
Does it make anyone feel better to know this would not change the outcome of the game? It would have been 7-4.
Momentum changed.
Oh,
that's what I said. He freezed it.
Momentum sport.
He knew at halftime.
You know what? Let's talk important things other than Dylan not understanding who we heard first.
Mike. We've got a masterclass about to go down when it comes to film review. We are sizing up the 49ers for Sunday because, obviously, Mike played for the Falcons. Bo has worked and traveled with the team for years, so they know what to focus on when it comes to looking at the 49ers tape, which they did this morning. And you guys covered the injuries earlier, the uncertainty surrounding the quarterback position. What else caught your eyes about the 49ers offense?
Well, I think that when you look at it, and we talked a little bit earlier, I went ahead and looked it up because I was talking about how bad their run game is. And, Bo, you said they're ranked, 30th in the NFL in terms of yards per game?
Yeah,
is that what you said?
They're averaging 82 a game.
Okay, I went up and looked up the success rate, which, okay, for anybody that doesn't follow success rate, it's did you get half the yards to gain on first down? I think it's the same on second down, and then did you convert on third down? It might even be a little bit different on second down. But offensive success rate when you run the ball is a big thing. They're second to last in the league in offensive success rate when they're running the ball. They sit at 34.8%. The Bengals are the only team worse in the NFL at offensive success rate when they're rushing the football. And I see that on film. We talk about the Shanahan zone tree, which we've talked about. McVay now has turned that into duo. We've covered that till we're blue in the face, that they are more of a duo team, a north and south, push you off kind of it's not inside zone, it's a gap style still. Well, what I've seen, and we watched this earlier, Bo and I were watching the tape, they've turned into a counter gap scheme style of offense out in San Francisco. A lot of pulling guard, a lot of, use check that being utilized like Charlie Warner on the GH counter and things like that, they're different than they used to be, and it's not clicking. And I'm curious to see how we decide to defend those kind of things, because we are a little bit, you know, light in the butt when it comes to our defensive front. So if they do have some success moving us, then you start having to go side to side, run some of the twist stunts up front the same way we did in the fourth quarter against the Buffalo Bills. But it's just that for whatever reason, they have not had much success on the ground. And it's crazy because of all the injuries they've had, Christian McCaffrey is one guy that has stayed relatively healthy throughout the season.
Well, you look at his numbers and he's much more prolific in the passing game right now, which makes sense because they lead the league in passing. But it's like Bijan's got 480. Let's see. Bijan has 484, I was right, on the ground and 338 through the air is receiving. McCaffrey's are flipped. He's got 336 rushing, and he's only getting to 3 yards a carry, which is what you're talking about with the success rate and some of that's in play of it. But he's got 400 and almost 50 yards receiving. They're using him more as a receiver this year success-wise than they are.
Yeah.
But you know, you look at Pearsall's been on and off the field. You know, Kendrick Bourne has been pretty good for them, but Juwan Jennings has been on and off the field. Like Kittle has been gone. Will they get Kittle back? I think Kittle makes their rushing game better automatically.
I agree.
He is such a, you know, when it was the debate a few years ago, is it Kittle or Kelsey? Who's the best tight end in the league? I always went towards Kittle because I thought he was more complete. You know, Kelsey, I think is a better route running tight end, but Kittle to me is a better run blocking tight end and does enough in the passing game to make him in that conversation. Well, I thought he was the better overall, you know, but the Purdy thing comes into play too. I feel like they're a more pass happy team with Mac Jones in there than with Purdy.
Well, and you guys have been really good about mentioning how Sunday is going to be kind of a family affair. All these guys have worked together before, but Jeff Albrecht talked with the media and said things are not the same.
In a lot of ways, it's almost nothing compared to what it was here. Like the way he grows on a yearly basis and how he evolves, it doesn't feel necessarily like the same system. Like you think of Kyle, but you think of his last name, Shanahan, you think of play pass, you think of keepers and boots and outside zone and it's not that anymore. Does that exist? For sure it does, you know, but that's not that used to be the staples. That used to be Mama. That used to be the stuff that he would do every game and in high volume, and you're seeing less and less of that. You see more drop back. You see more designer drop back. You see way more motion. You see way more window dressing to everything that he's doing. From the run game perspective, it's way more it's way more technical, and it's, you know, it's a challenge. It's another one where you really better take a hard look at yourself, Scout, when you go up against Kyle Shanahan, because he's going to look really hard at the way you've been beat, the way you've been attacked, and you better make sure that everything that's been put on tape has been resolved.
That's what we talked about earlier. Well, Mike, you explained it in the run game. That's what I'm trying to say. He kind of said some of what I'm trying to say. The difference in Mac Jones is they're not going to boot as much. You know, I saw like a little half boot earlier when we were watching film. I think Purdy brings more into that. But that's what we talked about earlier in that 620 segment. I said the Jon Snow they've Jon Snowed the offense, yeah. Which you know Game of Thrones. You know what that means. It's you can call it kind of evolving. But it's basically taking that system and twisting it into what you like your preference. Which what is most all the motions and stuff? That's what O'Connell, that's what McVay have done in some ways. I think it's just the evolution of the personnel and how defenses have adjusted to stay ahead of them.
Yeah.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And I think that you bring up a couple good points. First and foremost, we did turn on the film, and very early in the game, you saw them run the outside zone from under center, which we, as much as we run wide zone, we don't run it from under center, which is kind of really interesting. I mean, that's the old Mike Shanahan wide zone that you saw for so many years where the quarterback is sprinting, arm extended, almost can't get to the, you know, to the handoff point. So seeing a little bit of that was fun. You know, Christian McCaffrey, though, doesn't look extremely comfortable running wide zone, and the exterior blockers that they have, and you mentioned the fact that George Kittle's been out, they don't look comfortable blocking the outside zone at tight end spot. So that's one of the reasons they've gone to gap. And, you know, the Jon Snow thing, a good coach in the NFL, they play to what their strengths are. And I think that Kyle Shanahan obviously is one of those guys that looks at his offense, looks at Trent Williams, looks at Juszczyk, you know, looks at some of the other guys that are involved, and they go, hey, this is what we can do well. Let's do that. It's exactly what Zach Robinson has done here in Atlanta. He got here. What were we good at? Wide zone, right? You had Chris Lindstrom. You had Jake Matthews. You had all these guys that could run wide zone. And he said, okay, this is perfect. Let's just do this, and then we can build off of that. And that's exactly how this offense has kind of come to fruition.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, you know how much we used Charlie Warner in the pass protection game? They had a set, Mike, where they tried to use Luke Farrell, who's their rookie, not a rookie, but he's a fifth-year player out of Ohio State at tight end, and they had to use him in a pass set.
Yeah.
That for whatever reason, I can't tell you what their blocking scheme was and their pass protection. That's a Mike Johnson question. But Trent Williams kind of takes an inside rusher, and they brought Jamil Dean on a DB blitz.
Right.
And he literally dipped his shoulder and ran right around Luke Farrell. And Luke Farrell looked like he had no clue what was coming. If they try to use Farrell on anybody in our blitz package, I feel very good about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was curious where we kind of stood now in terms of blitz rate after blitzing so much last weekend. How about this? Number one in the NFL blitz rate, 41.8%. Number one in the NFL. And blitz rate. So they'll have that to contend with. I got plenty more stats about how good these quarterbacks are when they're being blitzed. And, of course, we got to get to it throughout the show. It's good stuff. We got a lot of stuff.
And whoever we get, Mac Jones is battling some rib injuries, and he's mobile, but he's not as mobile as Brock Purdy, I think. And Brock Purdy's probably – he could be limited with that toe and stuff. So, like, you're going to – I think you're going to want to kind of heat him up.
When we're going to get more into these stats, talk more in depth at 8:20. I am curious who you both think the X factor will be for the Falcons defense. I'll be at 8:20. This Friday, 92.9 is in Athens ahead of Saturday's big game between Georgia and Ole Miss. Join Dukes and Bell at Grindhouse on Lumpkin Street for a special broadcast from 2 to 6. They're going to have special guests plus a preview of all the weekend's pro and college football action. It's Friday, 2 to 6 at Grindhouse on Lumpkin Street in Athens. And coming up next, Brian Branch appealed his punishment. It was quickly upheld. We'll get into that and more of what's happening around the NFL next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.